Good morning. You're listening to the Word for Life radio ministry at Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. It's always a joy to welcome you just to sit down and spend some time with us each one of these mornings. As we are looking forward to Easter, the resurrection, which of course followed just a very, very heart-wrenching time as Christ was betrayed by Judas, offered up on the cross. It looked like Satan had won, but of course we know that Jesus came to die, to offer his life as a sacrifice for us. It's amazing when we just take a look at the story of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the life-changing decisions that were made during that very time. And of course, it's our prayer that during this Easter season, you also will be making some life-changing decisions. I have no clue what you're facing. I have no clue where you are in your relationship with Christ. But it's my prayer that during this time, you will come to faith in Christ, or you will come to reunion again, coming back into the fellowship with your Lord and your Savior. I want to call your attention this morning to Matthew chapter 27 and just one verse. It's verse 54. And it says, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God." Now these men were not men that normally feared anybody or anything. This is what they did for a living. They crucified people. They whipped people. They persecuted people. But something different took place as they watched Jesus die. You ever wonder what this centurion saw that caused him to come to the conclusion that Jesus was the Son of God? You know, when you just stop and think about it, he only spent 24 hours around the Lord Jesus. How could the evidence be so convincing so quickly? He didn't hear him preach. He didn't see him walk on water. He didn't see him raise the dead. He never saw him cast demons out of anybody. But yet he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." When you go over to Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, it says, "Now when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man." Certainly this was a righteous man. Says he glorified God when he saw what was done. Now what was it that the soldiers saw that caused them to come to faith in Christ? What is it that you can see this morning that can bring you to the same conclusion? Well, first of all, he saw that his last miracle of healing was for an enemy. An enemy. Back in Luke chapter 22 and verse 47, the Bible says, "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" When they that were about saw what would follow, they said unto him, "Lord, shall we smite with a sword?" And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer thus far." And he touched his ear, and healed him. The centurion was with the soldiers. He was there to arrest the Lord Jesus. He didn't think of him as the Lord Jesus. He thought of him as a rabble-rouser. He thought of him as someone that was just causing the Jewish leaders some problems. And so, yeah, let's get rid of him. But he saw this man reach out and heal the severed ear of an enemy, of a man that was coming out to arrest him. Now, Jesus wasn't delusional. He was very well aware of what these men were coming out to do. but he watched him heal the ear of an enemy. Now, if he hadn't healed the servant's ear, there probably would have been 4 crosses that day for the one who cut off the servant's ear or cut off his head. They saw him deserted by his disciples. The soldiers saw that. Yet, without a word of rebuke or anger, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56 tells us that this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So when all that took place, no one stood with him. The centurion saw that Jesus did not respond in anger. He didn't cry out to his disciples, "Hey, you guys get back here. Help me. Somebody send word." Not a word. They saw him deserted by his disciples, but not a work of anger or rebuke. And when Jesus responded to the question about his identity in John 18:6 with the words, "I am." You remember that? When they came out to get him, to arrest him, had a band of 600 men. And so when they said, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" And all he said was, "I am." Now, you and I all know that the word "I am" is the name of God. And the Bible tells us in John 18:6 that when he simply spoke those words, the entire band of 600 men fell to the ground, not one or two, not a dozen or so. But 600 grown, strong men fell to the ground simply because Jesus gave the name of God. Now, don't you know that got the attention of the centurion? All of a sudden, the centurion realizes, "I fell to the ground when he spoke his name. What in the world is going on?" Now, centurions were responsible for keeping track of individuals who posed a possible threat to Rome's security. And obviously, because Jesus drew such crowds, he perhaps had been part of their examination. Maybe they'd been keeping track of his movements. But if not, the centurion at least had observed his trial. He was there when he went through the make-believe accusations against him. He was there during the final march to the execution. The centurion was there and was in charge of crucifying him. He was there when Jesus' response to the crowd that mocked him was nothing but love. He was there when the sun turned black at midday for 3 hours. He was there when he felt the earthquake. And yes, he heard all of Jesus' words on the cross. He heard when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." You see, the centurion supervised the crucifixion. He saw the excruciating pain. Now, most men that are destined for crucifixion never go through a flogging, because often they die in that very process. But with his back a sheer mass of blood and nerves and exposed flesh, any movement on the cross would be horrible. See, when they nailed a body to the cross, they nailed that body in a crouching position, so the person could push himself up to be able to breathe. And then when he got air in his lungs, then he would slump back down into the crouched position. But the action of pushing up, scraping that raw back on the rough cross every time, oh, my, what pain. Now, if he didn't do so, the crucified man would suffocate to death because he would be unable to get a breath. The centurion watched Jesus go through all of this. And then the Bible tells us in Matthew 27:45, there were 3 hours of darkness, and it just didn't come at the end of the day. The Bible tells us it was from noon until 3 p.m. Now, a man by the name of Phlegon wrote that there was great darkness over Europe, surpassing anything that they had ever seen. At midday, he said, the stars could be seen. In fact, at the same time, an earthquake caused much damage in Nicaea. Tertullian, the statesman of the Roman Empire, later said that he found in the records of Rome a notation of a worldwide darkness that nobody could explain. You see, God turned his back on his son. because his Son was taking your sins and mine, the sins of the entire world, from all of eternity past to eternity future. And God turned his back. The Bible tells us in Matthew 27:36, "And sitting down, they watched him there." The centurion and all the soldiers were done, and they sat down to watch him. Now, they had posted an inscription on the cross. It was basically a sign of identification, a sign of the crimes. It had been carried on a board through the streets of the city, so everybody would know who he was and what his crimes were. Isaiah 52:14 tells us that Jesus' face was marred beyond recognition. And so, yes, they needed the sign there to tell them that this is Jesus, or otherwise people wouldn't have even recognized him. John 19:19-22 says that the sign was written in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. With those three languages, everyone in the world then could read. Isn't that interesting? Because you see, Jesus died for all the world. And so all of the languages were telling people who he was and what his crimes were. Yet there was more than this nailed to his cross. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2:13-15, that our sins were there. It says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And so we see that we are to be thankful because Christ has suffered for our sins. And it says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." So you see, our sins were nailed to the cross, not just what the world says his crime was, but what God said he was doing. He was taking on your sins and mine. Yes, the centurion saw all of this happening. Our time is up. Next time we get together, we will continue to see what it was that caused the centurion in 24 hours to be able to make the determination, truly this was a righteous man, truly this was the Son of God. Because this is the Easter story. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he came to seek and to save you. If you ever trusted him as your Savior, repented of your sin, and turned to him for forgiveness of sin, I trust that you will do that this very Easter season. Make it more than a holiday. Make it a holy day. Until the next time, God bless you in a wonderful way.